Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, Jeff Quattromani joins me on a Friday. Thanks for sort of fitting us in on your Friday, mate. How are you, Jeff?
I'm really well. Happy Friday to you.
And to you too, mate. Let's talk the recent Apple event, the Worldwide Developers Conference. We know about the virtual reality. I listened to a podcast about it the other day. It's $5,500 in Australia. They talked about system operating updates as well. Tell us more, Jeff.
Look, I think that's probably the exciting part, not so much the headset, but I think the fact that, you know, every year, anyone who has an iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Apple Watch, and so on, will receive updates. And there is some things to be excited about, and there's some things that people potentially won't even notice. But, you know, for anyone with an iPhone, for example, there are going to be some changes that you'll see. The fact that now when you dock your phone, you can have it used as a different screen to show you the calendar or a clock in large display. The fact that you might be able to use what they call live voicemail, which means that as a call goes to your voicemail, you'll actually see the text appearing as they're leaving the message, and you could then answer that call and interrupt it if you think it's actually someone you want to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's not exciting either.
No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for, you know, when are they going to come up with something really new? Like, for example, you walk into the office and your phone, you place it on your desk and it recharges through Wi-Fi. Walk into your house, put your phone on the sideboard, put it on the vanity, put it on the kitchen cupboard. It charges your phone through Wi-Fi. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that I would like to see. Yes. Because it's around, it can be done. But they are not bothering to go down that road. Instead, we get, you know, what you've just talked about.
I know. And look, I'll be honest, I remember seeing that technology you just described maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And it was done on a train set that was sitting on the floor. It wasn't plugged into anything, but it was receiving electricity from the Wi-Fi nearby. And there was an operating train set happening. Yeah. And they showed me an attachment for your iPhone that actually could work with that same power source as well. But I don't know if I want electricity flowing through the air. Yeah,
well,
that makes me nervous.
I agree. Yeah, there's that to think about as well. We talked about the Dyson Robo last time, but you've got your hands on one. They want $2,500 or $2,400 for this robot vacuum cleaner. But yeah. I said to you, it was a pretty basic cleaner. Your thoughts now that you've had a chance to test it?
Yeah, look, on the surface, it is a basic cleaner. It is just a vacuum. It doesn't empty itself and it doesn't mop. And at $2,500, I figured, well, it better do a better job of at least the vacuuming. It does a very good job of vacuuming. It has good suction power. But as a robot, it's basic. It gets lost. I find it in the kitchen, just in the middle of the floor, not knowing how to get back to its charging station. The app that you use on the smartphone to tell it to go and just clean the kitchen for today is cumbersome and difficult to use. I've been surprised that Dyson, at this price point, provided a smart robot vacuum. They provided a good vacuum in a device you probably would be better off moving yourself.
Well, I'm, like you, surprised because one has got to the stage, I suppose, where you think that Dyson, every product they put out, firstly, it's expensive, but secondly, it's top of the range, and it's top of the range in reference to techno capabilities as well. But it sounds like they got it wrong this time around.
They have, and look, it could be solved through software updates because everything else on the vacuum is good, the hardware is good. I think it's the software, the brains of this machine that just needs some help, and maybe they can look at their competitors for help.
But that's what annoys me with companies like this. Why put the bloody product out in the first place if it's a dog?
It is, and especially at this price point, you can't forgive them. I mean, $2,500, if I had spent the money, I would have returned it by now because it just isn't performing at that price point.
Man, no disrespect meant there to dogs either. I don't know why we have that saying.
I love dogs,
so do I. For those wanting portability from their computer, the latest LG laptop is lighter, slimmer, you say, than the Apple MacBook Air.
Yeah, this was pretty impressive to see. So last week, Apple announced a 15-inch MacBook Air, a nice, beautiful and thin laptop. And then LG comes out the day after and says, here is a laptop that is lighter and thinner. Now, this is less than a kilo, and it's a 15-inch screen. So it's a large screen laptop. And LG has thrown in their famous OLED display as well. So it's a beautiful laptop to use and to look at. And I held this when I was in Vegas in January, and it's unbelievably light and thin. So if portability is everything you're looking for, they're going to have this in the market next month, but it will be around that $2,000 mark, which I guess is comparable to the MacBook Air as well.
A new study has shown us here in Australia that we pay too much for home internet, with identical plans available through other providers 30% cheaper. Tell us more.
Yeah, look, I think this comes down to Australia's loyalty. We have so much loyalty when it comes to our telcos that we stick with, and you know, whether it's one of the big three, that once you sign up to your internet plan, you tend not to shop around. Now, we have seen studies, and this was a good one conducted by Mozo, where like-for-like comparisons, the same speed, the same data allowance, you can get it cheaper if you shop around. And it may not be a big name you've heard of, but it's the same internet service, especially when it comes to the NBN. There is no difference except maybe their customer service options. Otherwise, the service you get through the pipe will be the same. It's just, do you want it cheaper?
And I think part of the problem that we Australians are concerned of, we want to know that we've heard of this company's name and reputation, and that if we do have a problem, we can get in touch with someone and that problem can be fixed pretty quickly.
Yes, exactly. And look, to be honest, I think a lot of these big brands are actually going offshore with customer service, whereas these smaller ones tend to do it in Australia. So that could be a potential benefit.
Let's use Optus as an example. Their customer service is abysmal. Absolutely atrocious. It really is.
Yep. Heard that many times.
Unbelievable. Yeah. AI tools. Have you got the rest of the afternoon? We could talk about it. AI tools like ChatGPT had people worried that assignments and written work would no longer be handled by a human. Now, plagiarism and detection tools have been developed to check whether something was actually completed by a human. Are we really talking about this, Jeff?
Yeah, look, teachers were genuinely concerned earlier this year when, you know, tools like ChatGPT could easily write you an assignment. They were worried that all the submissions they were going to get were AI-generated and students could just relax. But now there are tools that you can take that assignment, plug it into the tool, and it will tell you whether AI also generated those words. So it's been interesting to see AI versus AI in this. You ask one tool, write me an assignment about Mount Vesuvius, and you ask it that question. And then you take all of that output, put it into another tool that does the detection, and you'll know very quickly when someone submits their assignment whether they've cheated or not.
This is the world we now live in.
I mean, I remember when I was in school, you just look at the back of the book for your answers, and that was, as long as you didn't get caught doing that, you're okay. But now, things are different.
Well, I remember when I first got into radio, if you were doing anything like a talk show, you know, you took the newspaper, the magazine, the book, the encyclopedia, for God's sake, into the studio with you, because there was no such thing, well, as computers, number one. Number two, there was no such thing as the internet. So everything had to be done before you went on air, out of books, magazines, the like. It's all different now.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many newspapers you've got around you at the moment.
None. I've just got the screen and a few notes. Always good to talk with you, mate. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too.
See you, Jeff.